Are you ready to transform your financial future through mortgage note investing? Hi, I'm Jamie Bateman, host of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. As a passionate entrepreneur myself and real estate investor myself, I've dedicated my career to empowering investors like you. Join my mentorship program tailored to meet your unique business objectives with a very small financial commitment to get started. Gain access to my personal experience, trusted consultants and vendors, and receive customized mentoring services. You'll get hands-on guidance on everything from determining your buy box and reviewing your bidding processes to managing notes with third-party servicers, handling collateral, and much more. Don't wait. Visit LabradorLending.com to start your journey to abundance today. Let's unlock your full potential together. This episode is a republishing of an earlier episode, which was entitled From Divorced Debtor to Influential Investor and Leader with Army veteran Brent Bowers. Brent is a friend of mine. He's a real estate investor and a former Army officer, just like I am. And so we have a lot in common. He got into land investing specifically, and he's also a business owner and a coach. He deployed to Afghanistan, and we thank him for his service. And he's also one of the podcast guests we elected to feature in my book, From Adversity to Abundance, Inspiring Stories of Mental, Physical, and Financial Transformation. Brent Bowers is a fantastic interview. He went through a painful divorce when he was young. And we talk about how he shifted his mindset. Mindset's critical in this one, and how he has a bias toward action. He's definitely a go-getter, an action taker, and also the incredible importance of teamwork in success. Love this episode, and I know you're going to love it as well.
Welcome to From Adversity to Abundance, the go-to podcast for real estate entrepreneurs seeking not just to thrive, but to conquer with resilience and mental sharpness. Each week, join us as we dive into the compelling world of real estate through the lens of mental fitness, where challenges transform into opportunities. Get ready to transform your mindset and expand your understanding of what it takes to succeed in real estate. Let's explore these stories of triumph and resilience together.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of From Adversity to Abundance podcast. I am your host, Jamie Bateman, and I am thrilled today that we have a fellow podcaster and fellow real estate investor, Brent Bowers. Brent, how are you doing today?
Man, just that intro, that the fellow podcaster, I mean, just thinking about that, a year and a half ago, I had never been on a podcast, and now I'm being nice. Called a podcaster, so I love it. I feel elevated yep. already. Just made my week just now.
Well, and we also have, we were both Army captains. We have that in common, so we can talk about that.
No, I was not a captain.
Oh, you were an Army officer.
First lieutenant. I got the heck out before they made me captain, because that's a lot of responsibility, man.
Yeah. I wasn't too far behind you in getting out, though. But anyway, I'm excited to have you. I asked Brent before we hit record, you know, which business do you want me to associate with you with? And the, you know, because Brent, you've got what, 5 or 6 businesses that people know about at least?
Yeah, that's right. The ones I tell people, there's some that I don't even tell my wife about. Not that they're weird or anything, yeah. But she would just be like, are you serious? So I just stopped talking to her about it.
Yeah. No, that's pretty, yeah, that's, I've gotten to that point too, where it's like, yeah, I just created a business yesterday. Yeah. Brent Bowers, the land man, you said what might be a good one, or the landshark.com, I know is one of your sites, right?
Yeah, we got the landsharks.com. That's the one one of my more exciting businesses, I should say.
Gotcha. Well, before we dive into your background, why don't you touch on exactly kind of what you have going on today? I know it's 27 trillion things, but kind of at a high level, who are you? What do you do?
Yeah, who I am. I'm a real estate investor. I'm a business owner. I have a team. like, and let me put some emphasis on my team. I literally just hung up with my executive assistant. She lives in Florida as well, but she's pretty much in the middle of the state. And I told her, I was like, I couldn't do it without you ladies. Like, you guys pretty much run the show. Most of the time they're telling me what's going on. I'm the guy that's like, hey, we should do this. And they're the ones that's like, well, have you thought about this, this, and that? Like the second and third order effects of it. Right. So it wasn't always like that though. 2007, I just got my real estate license. I always wanted to be a real estate rock star. And I had to take that freaking test like 3 times. I have a lot of excuses why, but here we go. It just took me 3 times to pass the Florida real estate license. And then I'm one of those guys, I just take action. I bought my first rental in 2007, right after I got that license. And then 2008 happened. And like, it's like someone ripped the rug right out from underneath me. And yeah, I quit. I pretty much quit on real estate.
Okay. Now we're going to get into that. And for those who are unaware, Brent was on, you were on our Good Deeds, Note Investing podcast with Chris and me. And we, I had some feedback from somebody afterwards. It was like, actually recently, he's like, oh, I remember that guy. That dude's a hustler, man. That guy's a baller. So,
wait a minute. He must have listened to somebody else's podcast.
Yeah, probably he meant the host, I'm sure.
Okay,
but that's what he meant. But no, I mean, from your story, I do recommend the listeners go back and listen to that, because you know, we're not going to cover all of that detail here, but as far as your investing story, but you are definitely an action taker, for sure. So 2008. Well, I guess quitting can be an action, right?
yes, absolutely. We all quit. You know.
Yeah.
I remember my freshman year in high, actually, no, it was my sophomore year in high school football. I was going to quit and my dad talked me out of it because I was doing 2-a-day practices in the summer while running my lawn service. And I was just smoked. And I was like, I shouldn't be doing this as a kid. Like, I got in my head again. I'm like, why am I doing all this? Mm-hmm. And my dad just talked to me about your team. Like, you're going to let them all down if you quit. Mm-hmm. And like, I'll never forget that advice. And then it's just like, here we are talking about adversity to abundance. That's my adversity. Yeah. Like, I quit in 2008 when I shouldn't have, but gotcha, it all worked out really well.
So we'll go back into your backstory, but so right now, what do you have going on? Kind of, you've got a land flipping business and what else do you have going on?
Yeah. I quit until about 2013 and started back up, but currently, you know, I have a team, very small team. There's about 10 of us. And we just hired an in-house accountant to kind of keep our books straight. We outran our fractional CFO and bookkeeping service and all that. We're playing catch up. But we flip houses. We flip land. And my favorite, the holy grail of passive income, is we create notes. And that's how you and I met, Jamie.
Yep.
We create notes by selling land on seller financing. And it's like literally the best kept secret ever. I mean, I buy a piece of land at 30, 40 cents on the dollar and sell it for 100 cents on the dollar plus interest for the longest term possible. And sometimes 10 to 15 X our money on land, but actually I shouldn't even say, it's actually more than 10 to 15 X if we borrow the money to buy it and then turn around and arbitrage it. It's actually an infinite return.
Yeah. Cause you don't have any money left in the deal.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So, and that's kind of your, what would you say is your primary focus right now from a business standpoint?
You know, it varies. I kind of stepped back into my land business because the last year and a half, I've really been focusing on growing the land sharks. I teamed up with Wholesaling Inc. As my kind of publishing agency to start teaching people how to buy and sell land and create businesses around it. And we really had a strong emphasis. I was teaching a lot of veterans and active duty military because I speak that language. I literally was running from that because I was always deployed and always gone and always away and always training. So I needed to get out because I wanted to see my children more often. So I talk very well to people that are kind of going through that same thing, but that's been my focus for the last year and a half. I've now stepped back into my land investing business because I want to keep building that. And I'm not where I want to be. I'm seeing what's possible with all my students. Several of my students have built businesses that make mine look like a little dwarf. So
that,
now
that means you're doing a good job, right? You're a good teacher.
I guess for a while I was just jealous. And then I was like, right. Okay, I'm a good coach. But now I'm inspired because I'm like, holy crap. If they can do it, I'm the guy teaching it. I'm going to blow this thing up now.
That's awesome. No, that's the abundance mindset that we're going to get to. So as we back up here, let's get back into your backstory. And obviously the show is about overcoming adversity, getting through adversity. We all face challenges in life. You and I are still going to have adversity going forward. So we're never done with that. And, you know, it's not a light bulb kind of switch from adversity to abundance, but I know that you've been through some challenges in life, so you can pick it up wherever you want, as far as childhood, adolescence, you know, military, whatever you want to start with. But let's hone in on a couple of maybe one thing that stands out from an adversity standpoint that you faced.
Yeah, I mean, we can go back to 2008. I bought that. I had just gotten married as well in 2007. We bought that house, rental property. And I just started pulling the trigger, and I left my lawn and landscape business that I had built since like sixth grade. My dad ended up taking it over. Me and my wife moved to the coast of West Palm Beach. I started selling real estate. And very soon after that, I ended up having to tell my landlord that, hey, here's your 30-day notice. I'm not going to be able to afford next month's rent.
Wow.
And there ended up being a huge buyout for me to get out of that lease, ended up wrecking my credit, that I literally found out my credit was trashed about 2 years later while I was on a deployment to Afghanistan, because I was actually trying to purchase a new lawnmower for the lawn business that my dad took over. And they're like, you've got about a 590 credit score because of this, that, and the other. And I'm like, holy cow, that's from that lease that I broke. But you know, it's amazing how you can do one thing and 2 years later, you pay the price of it.
Sure.
So I ended up moving in with my in-laws into a 900 square foot house. Here we are, four adults now living in one house, plus a small child, which was my wife's, younger sister. And let me tell you, I went from a business owner to a real estate licensed agent, which I still have my license, to a rental property owner, to moving in with my in-laws. And that's quite humbling. You go from making great money to no money, and you're paying credit card bills with credit cards with credit cards.
Wow. And about how old were you at this point?
I was about to turn 24, and my wife at the time, I really, really respected her grandpa, and I respected her mom too. Her mom was actually my real estate broker. And her grandpa said, let me back up a little bit. Her grandpa actually introduced me to Jim Rohn, not personally, but through cassette tapes. And I think I talked about that
in
the podcast. Well, I converted all those things from cassette to CD and would listen to these things driving down the road. And that's where I was introduced to personal development and started realizing life's not happening to me. It's happening for me. And another thing my wife's grandpa said to me was, join the military, go back to school. You can do this over. Like, it's not, you can kind of do a reset. So once again, action taker, I'm at the recruiter station at the Air Force. They wouldn't take me. Air Force would not take me. I jumped through all their hoops, a lot of their hoops, but unfortunately not high enough. And luckily the Air Force recruiter said, hey, go next door to the military or to the Army. They'll pretty much take anybody. So I'm coachable. I went next door and joined the Army, and I'm in basic training like 2 months later.
Got it. Okay. So, I mean, with everything you just breezed through, I mean, that's a big, like you said, it was humbling, but touch on kind of your mindset at that point in time when you were struggling, go ahead.
You know, just praying for opportunity every night and like, dear Lord, like I'll be a better tither, like all these things, but here I am sleeping in till like 10 a.m. in the morning, but I was also working late, right? That was my excuse. Oh, I'm working late, but I still could have gotten up early. You know, some of the things that were ingrained in me in the military, like now it's like, I pretty much just wake up automatically at 4 a.m. and either I lay there in bed feeling guilty or most of the days of the week, I just get up and get some stuff done, or, you know, do a Bible study or read a book or whatever, start, you know, taking action. But yeah, I mean, you know, I look back at the person I was back then, mm-hmm. and that's who needed to change. It wasn't the economy. It wasn't the dang real estate market. Everyone wants to blame 2008. Like, I bet you people, I know people that absolutely freaking crushed it in 2008.
Right. Right.
And one of those guys, I'll just do a shout out right now. His name is Michael Jake. His biggest problem is all of his friends have regular jobs, mm-hmm. and he doesn't have to work. You know?
Yeah. So he can't relate to them on some level. But no. Yeah. Gotcha. So, okay. So join the military, and then what?
So join the military, and the hustler came back out that year.
Nice.
I joined as an E1, and let me tell you, it still was not covering my bills, my E1 salary. So I just had to hustle in basic training. I was pulling fire guard for guys at night. I was like making the bunk beds in the morning. And
so you were an entrepreneur already. I mean, you were already an entrepreneur before that, but you were using your hustling skills in basic training.
Whenever graduation came, we got that one day to kind of go and celebrate with family. I had like a pocket full of cash, and I was like, okay, I'm going to spend some of this now.
Did you, you probably didn't have, they probably switched over the boots by then. Cause we had people doing boot shining for people.
No,
there
was no shining boots in my, thank God, man.
Yeah. It was like $5 to get your boots shined or something like that. But there were guys that were like all night long, just shining boots, you know, making a lot of money.
Wow. Yeah, I'll tell you. And then AIT came, and then we would have dress blue inspection. Actually, it was our AC or greens back mm-hmm. then. And I would iron those for these guys mm-hmm. on Fridays because they would have to do an inspection to get their weekend pass. And I wasn't mm-hmm. going out on weekend passes. I didn't, like, my wife lived, you know, in the next state over. Like, we weren't seeing each other very often. So I would rack up money doing that. And then mm-hmm. It's time to move again. And you know, just off to Germany, and basically I was stationed there for 3 years, and then was on back-to-back deployment schedule, and, you know, made money on deployments. I would literally mm-hmm. buy cartons of cigarettes. I've never told this story on a podcast.
Here we go, people. This is it.
But I would drive off Fob Shank in a government Humvee onto the Afghan compound and buy cartons of cigarettes for $20. Literally risk my stupid life, and then drive back onto our fob mm-hmm. and sell the packs of cigarettes to my buddies for like $10 a pack. And then one day I started feeling bad about that, and it stopped. However, it's a probably a good thing that I did. But little things like that, always making money. And then fast forward to 2013. This is another, you know, adversity for me is, my first wife was like, I'm done. I'm out of here. Like, you're never here. I'm out. So that kind of crushed me hard, because recently, right after that, I was pulled out of Afghanistan. The Army sends me to active duty green to gold. They paid me to go to school, my E5 salary. I went from E1 to E5 in 4 years, or like 2 years. By the fourth year, they're pulling me out, send me to school. Finally getting the money under control.
Yeah.
And I'm back in real estate.
For those unfamiliar, E1 is a private, the lowest ranking member of the military, right?
Yeah.
And then E5 is a sergeant, but the lowest sergeant, right?
Yeah.
And then, but you're moving up the ranks, and then green to gold. So then you're on track to become an officer, right?
Right. Exactly. Okay. 2013, I get, you know, I take my rank off, but I keep my E5 status. I'm paid. I'm literally still active duty, getting paid to go to school, which was amazing. You know, I had to build these huge packets, and it took me 2 years in a row to get accepted. But I literally had the opportunity of a lifetime in the military. Now I'm getting paid to go to college. I buy a rental house right next to the college. It literally touches the land of Florida Tech. And I started doing something called house hacking. I didn't know what it was called back then, but I had roommates basically, and I'm making money to live there. And this is my start back up into real estate. And that's really what catapulted me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think I've never really done house hacking, but, and I know Brandon Turner likes to take credit for that. term, but it was going on. He doesn't take credit for the strategy, I don't think.
Hey,
but
they coined it. I mean,
yeah, they did. Absolutely. But I mean, it's one of the best ways if that fits your you know family circumstances at that time. If you can make that work, I think it's one of the most powerful ways to get to really put rocket fuel on your real estate and wealth building, career path. So that's awesome. So you're kind of like, sounds like you're rebounding you're rebounding from your divorce at that point. Is that what's going on? Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Yep. So what's your mindset at that point?
You know, it was tough. Like I'm now like, 24 when I joined, 5, 6, 7. I'm actually about 27, about to turn 28. I'm the old guy in college. Yeah. I'm surrounded by like 18, 19, 21 year olds. And thank God I didn't have any gray hairs at that time. I just put my head down and did my, I'm literally taking like 8 or 9 classes because I have 21 months to get a 4-year degree. And a lot of my, I won't name the colleges for the sake of your podcast, but none of my credits transferred from this university of blah, blah, blah online school that I've been taking for the last 4 years. Taking like 9 classes and fixed this house up, house hacked it, and literally did what's called a VA streamline loan. And the bank actually refinanced me within like 2 months of living there, lowered my interest rate, and then gave me 55,000 cash. And I purchased the house down the street. And then I put sweat equity in that. Me and my neighbor who owned a construction company every night would work on that, then rented that one out and then started wholesaling houses, you know, because I went to a private school. I had to pay for some of these classes after my, after my cap hit. But, that game introduced me to wholesaling houses. And then during that time, I met my wife, Emily, the love of my life. And we decided that she's going to come with me to the next duty station. We got married. And now we have 3 children together.
Nice. This show is not about me. But so we were both Army officers. I also ran a lawn and landscaping company back in the day.
No kidding.
Which is still in existence today. It's not, I don't own it, but, and then my wife's name is Emily as well. So
that is wild. So I knew everything except for the Emily. I didn't know your wife's name was Emily.
Yeah.
We better check. We might live in the same neighborhood. No.
What's your name again? No. There's actually a funny thing. I just resigned permanently from my position with Department of Defense. I was working part-time for about 7 years, I guess. But there was another James Bateman there. And turns out the crazy part is, so out of this huge organization, there were only 2 James Batemans. And then he comes into my organization. We're in the same organization, like small, you know, group. And then one day I'm walking by him and we realize that somebody says like, oh, how was your birthday yesterday to him? And it had been my birthday. So yeah, same birthday, same name. Kind of crazy. There's some stories That's about that wild. One, but yeah. So hopefully I don't even want to ask you what your birthday is, cause that would be too weird.
I'll tell you after you stop the recording.
All right. So, okay. So now what year did we end off? Where are we in your story?
Yeah, we'll just fast forward to jumping out to 2015 when it's time to move to Fort Carson, got married. Very soon after, we found out we're having a baby and we bought our first house at Fort Carson, Colorado. And I used the equity from that a third rental property, took out a home equity line of credit and bought a triplex right in the city of Colorado Springs. I've hit the ground running. I'm wholesaling houses while working like a 13-hour army day. And I was doing it all by just getting up early. I had to be on base by 6 to do PT or physical training. And from 4 to 6 was my power hour. And I really had a huge why. And a lot of times people are trying to figure out their why. And I didn't know what mine was until I finally got out of the military while I was working so hard. But my why was, I was not going to let damn history repeat itself again on me. Like, I was not going to have another wife, like, you know, take off, because I'm always gone, always training, always deployed, always away. And, you know, and I loved being in the military, but it was hard. It's hard on the family. And now I've got children, and it really hit me when that first baby, my first son came out, and I was like, okay, I've got about 2.5 years. I put in my packet, even though everyone was saying, don't do it. They're not going to approve it. They're not letting army officers out right now. I didn't care. I didn't listen to the naysayers, because there's always someone that's going to try and tell you to not do something. Mm-hmm. And literally a girl with the same year group as me got denied, and you know, by the grace of God, they approved mine. Or maybe I just sucked as an army officer. I don't know. But and that was my timeline. I had about 2 years to make it work. And I was searching for answers, kind of like the Adversity to Abundance podcast. And I heard about a guy flipping land, buying and selling land overnight. And I'm already kind of haphazardly wholesaling houses, but it's hard. Like, you got to go and create rapport with these sellers. Like, you can't just be in and out and get a contract. I heard about land, and I'm like, why am I not mailing land? And that's what did it for me. In my second land sale, I created a note, and it paid me every month. And that was where my paradigm shifted. And I said, I only have to do this about 11 more times to completely be financially free.
That's awesome. So prior to land, who were you learning from, or, you know, how were you doing your real estate?
Wholesaling Inc. Tom Kroll, the original founder of Wholesaling Inc., which I've got the honor to be a coach for now.
Nice. Okay. And then got into land, and now you do your own coaching of land as well, right? Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I teach with Wholesaling Inc. people how to build land business just like I've got.
That's awesome. So can you give us kind of, like, you don't have to give us numbers, but what does your business look like from kind of a portfolio, or maybe even an income standpoint?
Yeah. We've done a little over 385-ish land deals. And we've got currently a little over 100 notes every single month paying us for the land that we've sold. And the first note I ever did was $400 a month. So, you know, we can count on that. Some of those are 5-year loans. Some of them are 30-year loans, which I really prefer, because if you look at the way the banks set these amortization schedules up, the first 5 to 7 years is like interest.
It's all interest. Yeah.
So it's a no-brainer. I mean, I shouldn't say a no-brainer. Albert Einstein said that, you know, those that understand compound interest earn it, and those that don't pay it. So I'm doing my best to understand compounding interest, because the banks are usually the prettiest buildings in every city and every state of this country.
Yeah.
And they've got something figured out.
So did you ever think you would be where you are now?
No, absolutely not. well, let me, that's totally incorrect what I just said. I knew I would be somebody one day and doing things, that I think I would have all these successful businesses. No, I couldn't quite see it. I knew I was going to do something one day and be very successful. But it's amazing what you can accomplish in just a few short years.
Yeah. Awesome. So is there anything else you want to add as far, I'm going to fire off some questions, but any other kind of takeaways from the adversity that you went through that you want to touch on?
Yeah. I mean, it just taken straight from the Bible, this too shall pass. You know, there's peaks and there's valleys. And if it wasn't for the valleys, there wouldn't be peaks. If it wasn't for the peaks, there wouldn't be valleys. So we have to go through that time. And, you know, it's hard to say, or it's hard to like really appreciate your situation when you're going through it, but you just got to enjoy the ride. And sometimes it's going to be raining on you, and sometimes it's going to be, you know, sunny roses. And I'll tell you, it's just like, you just gotta just keep pushing forward and, just take the action, really. I mean, we got libraries that we can go into for free and learn this stuff. We've got YouTube. I teach this stuff every day on my YouTube channel. It's free, but here's the one like recommendation: is you just gotta stop and take the action, get out of learn mode and start taking the action with everything you learn.
Yeah, it's really good. That's all really good. I mean, that's really one of the key points of this show is that you're not, the goal shouldn't be to avoid adversity or challenges or trials, right? I mean, it's, of course, nobody seeks them out on purpose, right? I'm not looking for more trouble, but that shouldn't be the ultimate goal because it's going to happen. So what do you do with it when it does? I'm going to fire off some questions and we'll see where it goes. What do people misunderstand about you?
I don't know. If they don't understand, I sure don't know. You know, I guess why my butt's always burning, like why, like, you know, and I love the, what Art Williams said, you know, he's like, I don't know why my butt's always burning. Like Art, I'm like, Art, you got to do something. You got to go for it. You got to try something. I mean, if you haven't heard Art Williams and his Just Do It speech, like, I love that speech.
Okay.
So maybe that's it. Like, people don't understand why my butt's always burning.
All right. I like it. What would you say was one of your biggest failures and what did you learn from that?
I would say my biggest failure was just probably quitting, and doing what cause I was on to something. It was just going to take longer than what I planned with the real estate in the beginning, mm-hmm. in 2007.
Gotcha. Okay. Got it. And you were doing that's when you got your license and that was in West Palm Beach.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I was already kind of I mean, I bought that first rental in 2007. I should have just kept buying them.
Kept buying. Sure. I was just in West Palm Beach about a month ago, and I imagine they got hit really hard in 2008, I would guess. But if you were given $10 million tomorrow, what would you do with it?
Well,
I'm not saying you don't have $10 million. I'm just saying if somebody wrote you a check for $10 million, what would you do with it?
I mean, I've got a land deal right now. We're looking, actually two of them. I could probably buy both of them actually. So I'm actually raising money for it. So I wouldn't have to raise the money. I would just have the money.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. You mentioned a little bit about that before we hit record. If you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh man, definitely spaghetti.
Duh. Stupid question. All right. How about what is a challenge you're facing in your business right now? You mentioned raising capital is something you're focused on.
Just getting, you know, a challenge right now is I mentioned we had outrun our bookkeepers and the fractional CFO we had.
What is that? I'm sorry to cut you off. What is a fractional CFO?
Basically, it's a CFO that works for other companies, not just yours.
Yeah.
And the bookkeeping team that was managing all the books for my companies, the land and the houses and the coaching, we just got too far ahead of them that they couldn't keep up with our transactions. So we just hired an in-house bookkeeper that she's in our culture, she's in our family. Awesome. So that's my number one challenge. And, you know, I'm already seeing the light, you know, at the end of the tunnel. So,
well, it is May 3rd right now. And so, I think a lot of people can probably feel your pain right now as far as small business owners. And, you know, we just kind of got through, I don't know if there even is a tax season. I feel like tax season is year round now, but
it is.
It's monthly. Yeah. I struggle with that as well with my businesses. It's definitely a pain point.
Yeah. I just hired a accountant with an MBA. So I've got high hopes.
That's awesome. No pressure, new team member.
I hope she's listening. She actually used to be my neighbor, by the way. I didn't even know it until I hired her.
Okay. Nice. What is one piece of advice you'd give to someone starting out in real estate, we'll say?
Yes. You know, you've listened to enough podcasts. You've read enough books. Just start taking action and go out and make some mistakes. Make mistakes like, they're going to happen. You already said it, Jamie, just go out there and start pulling the trigger. Our mistakes will sometimes turn into our best, you know, abundance.
Big wins. Yep.
Yeah. Huge wins.
Absolutely. All right. What's a book you would recommend?
The Wealthy Gardener. I love the book.
That's a great one. That's really good. Yeah. I've recommended that as well on podcasts. It's like a fiction/nonfiction.
Yeah.
Book. And that guy, man, he just set his mind to it and he just crushed it.
Yeah. Such a great, I really prefer that one on Audible.
Okay.
Because it's such a story and the way he tells it. I think I even mentioned it on the Good Deeds podcast. I just really like that book.
Yeah, it's a good one. Speaking of podcasts, what other podcasts? You have your own podcast, right?
The Wholesaling Inc. podcast. Yep.
And then what other podcasts do you listen to? Any others?
I don't listen to podcasts anymore. Yeah. I used to literally consume them when I was searching for answers, how to build a business that would get me out of the military.
Yeah, got it. How do you like to serve others?
You know, let me back up. I was walking out of the gym yesterday and I want to start doing a fundraiser for Feed the Children for my county. That's something it just popped into my head. I think a lot of these things, are God inspired. Like when we get these just random ideas. Number two, I teach people how to, build businesses that serve them. And then three, just pouring into my team and my organization. I mean, one of our, team members that I hired in April, 2017, she literally just paid off all of her debt. So those are awesome. A couple of different ways.
Yeah, no, I'm glad I asked that one. Those were some good ones. And you said walking out of the gym, just as we start to wrap up here, I just think that's, creating that space mentally. I mean, you went to the gym, I would guess, for a physical workout, right? But I know for me, a lot of times I have really what I think are good ideas. When I'm not in the weeds and I'm going for a walk or I'm doing a workout or something, I've created that space, the mental space to have those good ideas. So that's really good. Knowing you, I think you're going to actually do that.
Well, now that I said it, I mean, I kind of have to,
right.
So, but the first thing, and I'll tell you, within that same seed that came through my mind, guess what came right after that was fear of failure and fear of rejection. Mm. Oh, what if it doesn't go well? Like, what are people going to think of me? What if no one shows up to the event? So we all get stopped by fear of failure and fear of rejection. And I know exactly why we have these stimulating thoughts and these ideas. And that while we're usually getting some type of physical activity or, I'm just going to make that call. Like, whatever. I don't know why I've been dreading it is because when we build up something called endorphins, it is literally the antidote to cortisol. Cortisol is fear. It's the pause button. It's what kept us alive, when we were running from the saber-toothed tigers. But the antidote, I should say, is the endorphins. So that's why people need to get out and take those walks or take those jogs or just do push-ups and air squats and some jumping jacks right before they go into that tough meeting, or they got to make that phone call that they're afraid to do because we're afraid that person on the other line is going to reject us.
Yeah, that's awesome. But I thought you'd reached abundance and then you don't have any more fear.
It's a daily, it's like Jim Rohn says, you got to take a shower at least once a day. So, I mean, I'm in Florida right now. I pretty much have to take twice a day. But the motivation wears off. It's a daily battle. It's just constant.
Yeah. I love it. I think our listeners are really going to be able to, you're very relatable. So I think this will be really good. Two more questions. What's with the rhino behind you?
I'm so glad you asked. So the Rhino Tribe Wholesaling Inc. I got it from a great book called Rhinoceros Success by Scott Alexander. That's my number two book. Okay. That should be the number one, but you always have to be charging. Rhinoceros have 3-inch thick skin and they're taking torpedoes on daily. We're always charging. You don't want to be like the fat cow just sitting there chewing the grass. You want to be charging. So what does that mean? Have your running shoes ready next to your bed. As soon as you get up, hit the ground running.
Love it. My one nephew is a big fan of rhinos, so he's going to have to listen to this one. All right. Last but not least, where can our listeners find you online if they want to reach out to you?
Yeah. Thanks for asking. I mentioned the YouTube channel. I just started a YouTube channel very recently, and I put a video out 5 days a week. I just ask people go and smash that red button, subscribe to that channel. Even if you don't like the content, just still hit that red button.
Yeah. When I did pause my YouTube videos because it is, it's a lot of work, but
it is.
My one nephew, that was a couple of years ago, kept saying, smash that like button. So yeah, but no, it means a lot to the, like you said, like we both said, it is a lot of work putting out content, especially if you're doing it 5 times a week. Of course there's hopefully something in it for you monetarily, but,
one day,
but, it does go a long way. If the listeners will go out and, you know, like your videos, Brent's videos, and as well as, your podcast and same with this show, it really does go a long way. If we can get some, keep on building on the momentum we've created here with, shares and likes and reviews. It's not just me saying that, it really does help. So Brent, yeah, I really want to thank you for coming on. Do you have any parting words for us?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to just ride the train you just built there. You know, guys, if you have not subscribed from Adversity to Abundance podcast, do so and do a 5-star review and share this podcast with someone that needs to get their butt in gear and they need to cancel Netflix. So show some love to Jamie. Like, this is a lot of work. So thanks for doing all this, Jamie.
That's awesome, Brent. I really appreciate it. And thanks a lot for coming on. And to our listeners out there, thanks for spending your most valuable resource with us, your time. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on From Adversity to Abundance. We hope today's episode has equipped you with valuable insights and practical advice to elevate your real estate journey. For more inspiring stories and resources, visit us at www.adversitytoabundance.com. If this episode has inspired you, please share it with a friend who could also benefit from our conversation. Together, let's turn adversity into abundance. Until next time, keep building your mental fitness and your real estate empire.
All right, here's the deal. You work hard for your money. Isn't it about time you put your money to work for you? If you are an accredited investor, check out LabradorLending.com. Our Integrity Income Fund provides monthly cash flow from an investment backed by hard physical real estate. Our income fund, which is uncorrelated to publicly traded stocks and bonds, invests in first lien mortgage notes diversified by geography, property value, and borrower type. So you're not investing in one project. You're investing in a diversified portfolio of first lien mortgage notes. Our Integrity Income Fund aims to pay its investors monthly distributions at a preferred rate of return of 8% annually. Possibly the best part, though, the fund showcases a short 12-month commitment. So you can invest your capital today and have access to that capital in 1 year. Check it out today, LabradorLending.com.